righty. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Jude again this morning. Go to the book of Jude again this morning, and we're going to continue.
What chapter, brother? We need a chapter. How are we going to
chapter one. Chapter one. A lot of chapters in that book, so make sure your chapter one. Actually, it's an easy one to go right by. Where did Jude go? Well, if you flip too many pages, you're going to go right by it. That's a pretty short little epistle there. But there's a lot there in the book of Jude. We're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse number 11 in particular this morning. And as we've looked at the practical Christian living, the morning sessions, we've been looking at, if you will, one-word commands to help us out in our lives. And the first of that one-word command was from verse 1, where it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, do you remember from this verse number 1, what was our one-word command we looked at? If you remember, you can just shout it out if you will.
Focus.
That is correct. We are focused on our standing, focused on our assurance, and we're focused on our calling. That was from verse number 1. Then in verse number 2, Jude gives us a greeting. He says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. We're supposed to do what with the mercy given to us, the peace given to us, and the love given to us? This is the second one. Yes, sir?
Embrace.
Embrace is correct. And then for the third one, we jumped ahead to verses 5 through 7. And we looked at the wilderness generation of Israel. We looked at the angels which kept not their first estate in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was in their lives a sin of unbelief, the sin of disobedience, and the sin of immorality. And the word we said used for those to get rid of those out of our lives was the word, yes, ma'am. That is very correct. Yes, so focus, embrace, and purge. This morning, we want to go to a verse number 11, and we want to consider another word, and that word is avoid. Avoid, all right? So Jude, again, is writing to the believers here, and he's telling them that there are those that have come in that have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's sharing to them past examples. We looked at that in verses 5 through 7, of people who had gone on before, who had had these different types of sins in their life, and how that these false teachers had them in their life as well. He goes on to talk about the false teachers more, how that in verse 8, they're filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. He says in verse number 10 that they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. And then he begins verse 11 with three simple words, woe unto them. Woe unto them. So what is wrong with these false teachers? He's saying they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. How many of you know who Cain is? Cain and Abel, all right? Let's go on. How many of you know who Balaam is? Balaam in the talking donkey, all right? You're familiar with that account as well. How many of you know who Korah is? All right, we got some people here who know who Korah is as well. The one who challenged Moses and said, did God really speak to you? And basically Moses says, hey, if the Lord has not spoken to me, then you're going to die a normal death. And what happens? The earth opens up, and they are swallowed up whole, and it closes back up on them. I don't think I'd really want to be there and watch that happen. Pretty scary thing. But these are the three examples that Jude is giving. He says, these false teachers, they've gone in the way of Cain. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. They perished in the rebellion, is really this idea of gainsaying here. And so as we consider verse number 11, if you would put a picture in your mind, you've come to a Y in the path. If you're coming down a trail, and you've come to a Y in the path, you have the question arise in your mind, which way do I go? Which way do I take? And Jude, in here in verse number 11, shows the pathways, verse number 11, as a pathway, as a choice in which you will make, on which pathway you will take. And the pathway you take will make all the world of a difference in your life. As we consider our lives as individuals, we consider the pathway. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've come to a Y in the path on whether or not you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you'll go and try to trust your own works and do your own good things. What you choose, eternity hangs in the balance for you, my friend. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you do not choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will end up spending a Christless eternity in a lake of fire. Something God never desired that you'd be there. The Bible says that the hell was made for the devil and his angels. But mankind has sinned, and we will go that way. We will go to that punishment if we reject the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So it's a very important decision that you make, my friend. Or perhaps you're here today and say, well, Daniel, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know 100% sure that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven. That's wonderful. But at the same time, my friend, you also come to a why in the pathway of life, on whether you will serve God or on whether you will serve yourself. And we've kind of been looking at the same thought through different venues, if you will, over the last evenings and the last mornings, but it's an important thing to consider. Which way are you going to take in life? Jude 1 verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and are immediately after they are veiled for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. The command today is simple. It is avoid, and we're going to delve into that. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word, Lord, would you help me to say only that which you want me to say, nothing more or nothing less, Lord. Hand me behind your cross so that your word can come forth freely. I pray for the young men and women here today that you would give them attentive minds to hear what you have for them and allow their hearts to be changed and their lives to be changed as you would work in each one of them, Lord. I thank you for the week we've been able to have together, Lord, and I pray that you would bless even in the day we have today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So God is clear to Jude that to avoid sin's pathway is to make a life-altering decision. It's very clearly indicated by the first three words, woe unto them. Something good isn't about to happen. Jude isn't going to show us something great. He's showing that they're going down the wrong way. But he notes us something about these false teachers who have come into these churches. People might want to think that, oh, these are leaders we need to follow. But these false teachers really were followers because they themselves were going in the way of Cain. They were going after Balaam. They were going after the gainsaying, after the rebellion of Korah. We ought to be careful on which way we take, my friends. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as a grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit, we shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of grain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. What the author is saying here in the book of Proverbs, don't go in the path of the wicked. Don't walk in their pathway. Don't even go down that pathway. Avoid it. Pass not by it, Proverbs 4:4 says. And enter not into the path of the wicked. So, what do we do when we come to a Y in a row? What thoughts play out in our minds? We ought to consider verse 11 here of Jude chapter 1 when we come to a Y in a row. And a lot of times, this is something that happens to us on a daily basis. We come to a decision where we're going to make. And there are really just two choices on the shelf, my friends, and that is pleasing God or pleasing self. And so we've got to decide which path we're going to take. Jude says, hey, avoid the pathway of sin. And he's going to show us some three actions, examples, and traits that will expose our whereabouts and that will help us to avoid sin's pathway. You say, well, Daniel, somebody to come to this pathway and come up to this pathway and you can go serve yourself, you can serve God. What's really the decision making that I'm going to be making if I choose to go this way over against serving God? Number one, here's truth number one, self-dependence is why you're going to go on the pathway. Self-dependence is why you go on the pathway. Okay, it's self-dependence, the action is go. This is what the Bible says in Jude 1:11. They have gone in the way of Cain. They have gone in the way of Cain. Again, you're familiar with the account in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam and Eve. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. And God had respect to Abel's offering, but to Cain, he rejected his offering. And as we consider what is the way of Cain, we say, okay, we talked about self-dependence is why we go on the pathway. So let's ask some questions about Cain. Why did Cain, or what is the way of Cain? Is it murder? Because Cain killed his brother? Well, why did Cain kill Abel, his brother? Was it because of hate? Well, why did Cain hate his brother? Was it because of anger? Well, why was Cain angry at God? Well, was it because of rejection? Well, why did God reject Cain's sacrifice? We're kind of going down layer upon layer. We look at what we thought was the surface problem. Well, Cain just hated his brother, that's why he killed him. I think there's something far deeper. We keep peeling back the layers. Cain was angry at God. God rejected his sacrifice. Why did God reject his sacrifice? Because Cain's sacrifice was rooted in self-dependence. It was rooted in self-dependence. You say, well, what makes you say that, Daniel? He was a tiller of the ground. He offered of the fruit of the ground. He offered what was his best to the Lord. Why was it such a problem that Cain offered of the fruit of the ground to the Lord? God had already laid down for Cain and Abel a principle. God had laid a principle down to their mom and dad, Adam and Eve. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They knew they were naked, so they went and sewed fig leaves together. And they hid themselves in the garden. God comes looking for them. Their conversation ensues. And God gives to Eve the promise of a virgin-born Messiah that will come through the seed of the woman there in Genesis 3:15. Where the Bible says that God also takes some animal skins and clothes Adam and Eve. Properly clothes Adam and Eve. What did God have to do to get those animal skins? But he had to slay an innocent animal. God was giving to Adam and Eve the pattern that when you come to God, it comes through the shedding of blood. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ would do on the cross of Calvary. He would shed his blood for the sins of all mankind. So Adam and Eve recognize this is how we come to God. This is why in the nation of Israel, they would offer the sacrifices. It was something that was set up by God way back in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. Even the book of Job. You read the book of Job, and Job was a contemporary, if you will, of Abraham. So he existed before the land of, before Israel was a nation. And they offered sacrifices. Why? Because they were showing that we're sinners in front of a holy God and we need a Savior. And one day that Messiah is coming who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin. And so what's the recognition here? When they come to offer a sacrifice to God, Abel follows the pattern that God has set forth. Cain, on the other hand, goes and comes with his own good works. Well, this is what I'm good at, he says, and he goes that. As we come to a Y in the road, we determine, are we going to be the master of our own fate, or are we going to be guided by God's word? Cain, if you will, was the master of his own fate. He did not allow himself to be guided by God's pattern that God had set up. We must, my friends, determine who is in charge in our life. Is it you or is it God? Is it you or is it God? Again, two choices on the shelf. Are we going to determine, are we going to, as we choose this Y in the path, are we going to choose it based on what we're good at or are we going to do what's required of us? Cain did what he was good at. I mean, He offered you as a tiller of the ground. He offered of the fruit of the ground. Why shouldn't God be pleased with his sacrifice? What was Cain doing? He was offering of the works of his hands. He was trying to do good to please God. Can we please God by our righteousness? Can we please God by our good deeds? No. This is why you cannot come into heaven by trying to do good works. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. The only way to get into heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but that doesn't seem to make sense. But God laid it out to Adam and Eve. God laid it out to Cain and Abel. This is the way you come to God. And Cain said, I'm going to come my own way. And so many people all throughout the history of the world have followed the way of Cain. They've said, you know what? I'm going to come to God on my terms. God, these are my terms I come to you. And Jesus said, hey, look, there is only one way to God, and that's through me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one that gets to make the terms. And God, in his goodness and his graciousness and his mercy to each one of us, my friends, allowed us a pathway to get into heaven. But every way we can imagine doesn't lead to heaven. Only one way. And it comes down to this. Are we going to be the master of our own fate, or are we going to be guided by what God says? Are we going to do what we're good at, possibly, or are we going to do what's required of us? God says, hey, this is what I require of you. This is how you need to come to God. We can't come to God with our own goodness. Isaiah 64:6. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. It wasn't about the heart motives here. It was about the way. And the way of Cain is not the way of God. My friend, the way of yourself is not the way of God. The way of self-dependence is not the way of God. So we come to this why in the pathway. We're choosing which way to go. Self-dependence is why we go on the pathway. They've gone in the way of Cain. But notice as you start stepping down this pathway, my friends, be careful when you're at a Y that you don't choose to go serve yourself, that you don't choose to go on this pathway of self-dependence. Because like we talked about yesterday morning, the slippery slope of the sin of unbelief, of disobedience, going down to the sin of immorality, even so, this pathway itself has a slippery slope. From going in the way of Cain, truth number two, greed is why we run down the pathway. All right, number one, self-dependence is why we go on the pathway. Number two, greed is why we run down the pathway. Greed is why we run down the pathway. What does it say in verse number 11? They've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. They've run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Those who run down the pathway with greed allow their love for wealth to drive them. Notice the wording here, they ran greedily. There is an enthrallment with earth's riches over heaven's wealth. Now we gotta be clear about something, my friends. Wealth in itself is not bad. Riches are not bad. But the love of money will ruin you every time. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You start going down the pathway of self-dependence, you're going to then pick up speed, if you will, running greedily after the error of Balaam. Now, Balaam was one who was inquired after to come and curse the nation of Israel as they had come up out of the land of Egypt. And those who had come to him, and he went to inquire of God what God would have him to do. In Numbers 22, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. He gives the answer to the men, to Balak, and they come back to him and says, but Balaam, come on, would you please come with us? So Balaam says, okay, stay here this night also, and that I might know what the Lord will say unto me more. God already told them what? No. Balaam's coming back to God and said, I need to see what more you'll say to me, God. He already said no. When God says no, we ought to take that for a no. My friends, Balaam was one that pushed at God's no, and we'll see how the story unfolds for Balaam. But can I say this? Don't push at God's no. Just because God eventually says yes, it doesn't merely mean that God's full blessing is upon them. Psalm 78, verse 29, God gave of the children of Israel their own desire. They attempted God enough, they provoked God enough. God, you've given us water. God, you've given us manna. Can you give us meat altar? Also, the Lord was grieved with them. He sent quail. But while their meat was yet in their mouth, God went down and slew even those that were there. The fattest of them is that what I believe the psalmist says in Psalm 78. And the realization is you can get what you want. You can push at God's no and keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing at it. And eventually, God might allow you to have what you want, but it didn't come with God's blessing. What is making us push at God's no? What is making us keep saying, God, but change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. What was making Balaam do this? Greed. He wanted the wealth that was promised to him. And so his love for wealth drove him, you could say. And then his callousness to God sped it up. God's no didn't slow him down when he starts going with his donkey. And he goes up in that passageway. The angel of the Lord is there outstretched with his sword. And guess who sees the angel and who doesn't? The donkey sees the angel. Balaam doesn't see the donkey. Balaam doesn't see the angel. But this is how bored down to Balaam's ways he actually is. He gets so mad at the donkey that he starts beating him. And then the donkey talks to him. And Balaam says, oh my goodness, a talking donkey, where have I gone wrong? No, what did he do? He starts arguing with the donkey. This is literally what Balaam is doing. He is so in his way, he is so set on doing what he wants to do, that even when the donkey starts talking to him, he's just going to argue right back with the donkey. So God finally, perhaps for the sake of the donkey, so he doesn't beat him to death, has to open up Balaam's eyes and show him, hey, look. And Balaam sees the angel of the Lord with an outstretched sword ready to slay him. And all of a sudden, Balaam's like, ah! He's a dead man. He's worshiping the Lord out of fear of what's going to happen to him, mind you, I believe, because God just has him go on and speaks only the words that he wants him to say. But notice his callousness to God, that even when something was out of the ordinary, it didn't faze Balaam because he wanted what he wanted. My friends, we ought to be careful, because when we choose the pathway of self-dependence, we will run down that pathway because of greed. The love for wealth, the love for popularity, the love for fame, the love for things will drive us. And as we allow that to drive us, the callousness to God will speed us. The Lord's told us no, but we didn't want to hear that no, just like Balaam didn't want to hear that no. And we try to keep going on our way. And eventually, as you keep not listening to God, eventually you're going to tune him out, a callousness. You're going to build towards the voice of God, towards the word of God. Now, why is this important? Because it leads us to our final truth, as we see from Korah. Number one, self-dependence is why you go on the pathway. Number two, greed is why you run down the pathway. Number three, rebellion is why you perish on the pathway. Rebellion is why you perish on the pathway. Verse number 11, they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Rebellion is why you perish on the pathway. So, your choice to live for yourself, you're free to make that choice, my friend, but recognize it's a Y in the road that you're choosing which way to go, that you're going to go serve yourself or you're going to go serve God. But recognize, if you go that way, it's because of self-dependence. And as you go that way, what might start as walking is going to speed up to running greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward. But it doesn't stop there. You start going down that cliff, going down that slippery slope, and then you have that drop-off there, and soon you're going to be destroyed. Your life is going to be destroyed. And this is what we see through Korah. Rebellion is why you perish on the pathway. Korah had come to Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16 and said, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. We don't think that God just is going to be speaking to you. We think that God can speak through us as well." And they've lost care of God's design, of what God had set up there in the nation of Israel. Moses was going to be the spokesperson. Aaron was going to be his helper. But Korah said, "We can do it as well." And so Korah decides, this is how steeped Korah is in his way, his self-dependence, his greed for power in the sense, for position in the sense, and he puts up a challenge to God. He sees himself, he puts himself up challenging against God, and Moses lays out the stakes, as we've already said. "If you die a peaceable death, the Lord has not spoken unto me." Now, can I ask you a question? Who is successful, or who has been successful in such a feat when they decide to challenge God? Let's take Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh. They're the leaders for this enslaved nation that Pharaoh has in his possession. He says, "Our God says, let my people go." And Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, of the most mightiest, of the mightiest nation on earth, he says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Well, Pharaoh, we're going to show you who God is. 10 plagues come to the land of Egypt. The army of Egypt perishes in the Red Sea. And Pharaoh loses dismally. When the people said, "Is the voice of a God," of King Herod in the book of Acts, and he puffed up with pride, God struck him dead with a painful disease. When Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built?" the words came to him, "Thy kingdom, O Nebuchadnezzar, is departed from thee." In 7 years, he had to wander aimlessly, crawl aimlessly as a beast in the field till he recognized that God on high reigned and set up who he would set up as kings. Korah perished instantly. My friend, what makes us think that we can be successful in our rebellion against God? "This is just how I'm going to live my life. I have the right to live my life like this." Go for it. You have the freedom to choose what you want to do, my friend. Every one of us will give account of himself to God and recognize that each one of us can live how we want to live. But recognize that your choices do have consequences. You can choose your actions, but you can't choose your consequences. And here, Korah loses his life in challenging God. If you're here today and you don't need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're challenging God, perhaps God will be long-suffering and gracious and merciful to you as long as you live here on this earth, because he wants you to come to know Jesus as his Savior, as your Savior. But when you stand before God one day, you will meet your ultimate demise in the lake of fire. My friend, if that's your case, I pray, I plead with you that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior today. It's the most important decision you can make in your life. My friend, if you're here today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to recognize that there's a pathway that you can choose to go on each day. And there's a pathway that you need to avoid. The pathway that you go on because of self-dependence. And as you're going on that pathway because of self-dependence, you're running greedily, you're running down that pathway because of greed, but you'll eventually perish on that pathway because of rebellion. Self-dependence is why you go. Greed is why you run. Rebellion will be why you perish on that pathway. It's a warning. Let's stay off the pathway. It's perhaps a call. You find yourself somewhere on that pathway. "Daniel, I'm living my life self-dependence. I'm not living for God. Daniel, I am going after wealth or popularity or fame. That's what's driving me. That's what's accelerating my departure from God. Daniel, perhaps I found myself in rebellion against God, that I want to live the way I want to live, and I don't want God to tell me what to do. God knows where you are, my friends. As the Lord deals with you, you respond to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we can have together today. Pray that you bless our date here. Pray, Lord, that we would make the decision to avoid sin's pathway. A simple verse here in Jude 1:11, giving us Cain, Balaam, and Korah, men who had gone before, men who had gone down sin's pathway. Lord, I pray that we would not go down that pathway. Lord, I pray that we would avoid that pathway. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, thank you so much for your attention. You are dismissed. We're going back to the playing field.